Contrast that he's the lion, but he's also the man. Amen. He knows how to humble himself and get the job done. He knows how to be the lion, the conqueror, and get the job done. And because he has that in him, he puts that in us. Amen.
Amen.
Because there's a time for us to be humble, and there's a time for us to be sacrifices. And believe it or not, God has a time in his economy where we are to be conquerors. Amen. It's because we know the way up is down, and when we humble ourselves, we are exalted. But amen. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you, and good to see each one of you. And when I look out tonight, or this morning, I look out and I see people who's been tried and tested for the last few weeks pretty severely. So I know that we're ready. As Brother Daniel said, I'm ready for this trial to be gone, and ready for a new trial. So... And me too. I'm still trying to get over the thing I had. It's just in my chest. But anyway, the Lord is my healer, as he is yours. So we thank you for that. Thank you for this day and the opportunity to come together and make our presence known among each other and be an influence to each other. Be what God made us to be. Amen. It's a glorious walk.
Amen.
I'd rather be a Christian walking and fighting this battle than anything else I know.
Amen.
And I can say that because there was a time when I wasn't fighting this battle. I was on the other side. And I know what it's like to be over there, and I know what it's like to be over here. And I can tell you that it's much better to be on the side of the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So we're glad for that. Before we get started, I just wanted to mention, not to be pointing fingers to myself or anything like that or my wife, but today is our anniversary, 29 years.
Amen.
I think that says a lot in this hour.
Amen.
From the culture that I come out of, it's worse now, but when I grew up, it was pretty rugged. I think the Lord has really blessed us, and I love her more as the days go on. I love her more now than I did when I first met her, and because we've got a lot of things, a lot of water that's went under the bridge, and she's a real help. She's a real help to me. She doesn't mind whenever, even in ministry, when I ask her to call the sisters and check on them and things like that. You know, I do that because it's, to me, it's more appropriate for my wife to do that than for me to do it. And so she's not afraid to do that. She's always real helpful in those things. And she helps me remember sometimes when I forget. Sometimes. But anyway, I just wanted to take it and just actually say that I'm thankful for the 29 years that the Lord has given us.
Yes.
And, you know, if the Lord tarries, I trust He'll give us many more years. So, let's open our Bibles to Exodus. I gave her quite a few more scriptures than what I think I'm actually going to read. So let's just go to Exodus chapter 11, and we'll read verses 4 through 7. This morning I want to talk about the power of the token life. The power of the token life. And I don't expect I'll say anything this morning maybe that you haven't already heard, but maybe to bring to remembrance or maybe put a little different view of some of the things there. But it's becoming more, that's one thing I can say, is about these messages and these sermons and these milestone things that God has given us are becoming more and more real to me, and I trust to you also. And so we want to just kind of talk about the power of the token message. Verse 4, it said, "And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, At midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservants that is behind the mill, and of all the firstborn of beasts. And there should be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Amen. Just imagine that, saints. God said that in this night, when this Passover is taking place, a dog's not even going to be able to growl at anybody in the nation of Israel. Anybody that's underneath that token ministry, that token life, a dog's not even going to be able to move his tongue against man or beast. That you may know, this is God saying, I want you to know, I make a difference between Israel and the Egyptians. I want you to know that difference. I make a difference to you. And as all this judgment is coming down, absolutely crushing Egypt, I want you to know it don't even come close to you so much that not even a dog's going to move his tongue. So let's bow our hearts to Him just for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this time this morning to be in Your house. Lord, to be Christians, to have a message, Lord, not to be wandering around just trying to figure which way is up. But Lord, You have visited us. And You've given us a truth, much truth, Lord, that we can walk in and we can live in each day. And Lord, we are happy to display that. We're happy to share that truth and walk in that truth with those of like precious faith. We thank You, Lord, for this time together today. We count it as a great time. We count it as something momentous, Lord. And we want You, a desire for You to come in Your presence and just open our hearts up to You. Draw us closer to You, Lord. that you would be glorified. And so, Lord, we trust that you will do that this morning. As we enter into this word this morning, we pray that you just speak this word into every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. You know, to me, saints, everything that's going on right now, everything that I read and see happening in the Bible, and everything the Lord's dealing with me, every bit of it is pointing to rapture. It's all about rapture to me right now. And so, as I've said the other day, I feel like we're in the last 2 or 3% of rapture cycle. We've been in a rapture cycle for many, many years. And so, you know, it's a message. And the rapture, I said the other day, you know, it's a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. But the rapture is also a revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people are looking for a revelation. They're just going to wake up some morning, God's going to tell them something, and they're going to change because of it. But the revelation is the revelation of every word of God.
Right.
Because Jesus is the Word. All the fullness of Godhead was in Him, right? He was fullness of the Word. And, of course, He's the book. You open Him up, you'll see us because we're in Him. So all those things, it all goes back to Him. So it's a person, but it's also a condition. And it's also a mindset that we have. And so it's our attitude to what God has done toward the things that He's given us in this day. And if we have the right attitude, we'll certainly have the right actions.
Right?
And so as we get into this morning, you'll see what I'm talking about. Because this rapture has to be made flesh.
Amen.
Right? It can't just be a faith and a revelation, but it has to translate into something that actually becomes manifest. It's just like anything else. If God saves us from our sins, somehow or another, our life has to show that differently. We can't be like we were before.
Amen.
We can't be sinners like we were. So that has to be made flesh, or it's not real.
Right.
It's not really there. The experience of God's not really in a person's life if it don't come out and live on the outside. And so that's the thing I want to get to this morning. And this rapture is the same way. But we're gonna, and I'm sitting here preaching rapture to you, but I'm talking about Tolkien this morning because it's all rapture.
Amen.
Okay, and so it's all coming together into one thing. And so we know that through the Bible and through history that God could look down here at the end time and He could say, I want to rapture a people, or I want to take a people on an exodus here at the end time. And He would go all the way back at the beginning and with Moses, and He would absolutely set up a pattern that is going to obligate Him to have to do the same thing here at the end time that He did back there with Moses.
Right.
And so this record that we're talking about here of the Exodus is one of those cases in the Bible where God established something, and it took a prophet for us to realize that in our day this thing's going to repeat again. Right? I mean, there was a prophet preached a sermon called Third Exodus.
Right.
Because there was an exodus there in the days of Moses where God had a people and they were inside, there was a nation inside a nation or whatever, and He took that people out. And I think, if I remember, it's been a while since I've listened to it, but I think He referred to it as it becoming a church, because church means called out.
Right.
So He called Israel out of Egypt, and he made them a people called out of a nation. Well, we know that was the first Exodus. And then when Jesus came along, here was a nation, and He called the people out of that church, or out of that nation, if you want to call it that, into a spiritual baptism. He called them out of just being a people that has a nationality clique or whatever, but He called them into a spiritual baptism, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was the second Exodus. And then today at the end time, there's a third Exodus. And that is where God comes to a people, even a people who have a spiritual baptism, even the church. But He comes, and out of that group, He calls out of that group of people, and He takes them out of that condition into the land where the living is.
Right?
Right? Into another dimension. So it's rapture. The third Exodus is the rapture. So if the third Exodus is a rapture, then if the first Exodus had a token, the third Exodus will have a token.
Right?
Right? So you see how this comes together. It's all rapture to me. So there's going to be a token in this hour also. So God set that pattern a long time ago. And you find out that the children of Israel had got themselves into bondage. And you realize, and my family and I were having a discussion the other night, and the scriptures let us know that God's word be true, but every man's word let it be a lie. And that's the way it is. Man cannot come up with the right thing. It's just not in him to do it.
Right.
It's just not there. And so God's word is true.
Right.
And so let God's word be true, every man's word be a lie.
Right.
And all I'm trying to get to here is that no matter what we feel, no matter what anybody comes up with, all of that has to give way and go to and become what God says. It has to be his word.
Right.
And so Israel got themselves into bondage, and that's all they can do. That's all people can do, is just without God in the midst, we go to bondage. Right?
Yeah.
That's just the way it is right now. If you leave this house of God today and you go out to go into this next week and you go and you depart from God, you will go into bondage this week in your spiritual experience. You will be so bogged down by the end of the week that you can't stand it.
Right?
Right? See, that's the way it is. So I found that the best place to be is in the presence of God. And it's a daily battle. We're fighting constantly. And some days it's good and some days we don't do so good.
Right.
See, but the mercy and grace of God is always there to bring you back. And so Israel got themselves into bondage. But you remember God had made a promise. God had made a promise to Abraham that he would come and set the people free. So it didn't make any difference what had happened, what the children of Israel had done, what Pharaoh had done. It made any difference about all that. When the time of the promise drew nigh, God's promise was going to be brought to pass, and it didn't make a difference what happened out there.
Right.
It wouldn't make a difference. And so that promise, when it come time for that promise to draw nigh, you know, that promise was greater than anything else that was out there. We find out that the scriptures tell us that when that time drew nigh, that actually Egypt fortified themselves. Egypt actually magnified themselves against the children of Israel. And we know that's the case. And the scripture said that there arose another king, another Pharaoh, that didn't know Joseph. Because prior to that, they had known the blessings of Joseph. And remember, the reason why that they got into bondage in the first place was because they rejected the spiritual one among them, Joseph.
Right.
When God rose up Joseph among them, they rejected him, and that's what got them down into Egypt in the first place, and it turned that they became in bondage. But God had a promise that he was going to set them free. And so you find out that when that time began to draw nigh, Egypt began to grow, and Egypt began to look and say, there's too many Israelites, and they begin to cast them out, and begin to kill them, the children and so forth, to what? To make sure that Israel was servants to them, and that they were in control. They were so Israel was in bondage. Excuse me. And so we know that's what the scriptures tell us. And so what we had here was a Pharaoh. We know that this happened actually during the Exodus. Pharaoh began to magnify himself, and he hardened his heart, and the scriptures actually said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Have you read that? So what we are dealing with here was when it was time for God's people to be set free, Satan rose up in Pharaoh, fortified himself against that promise to come to pass. His heart became hardened, and everything, and you realize at that time, Egypt was basically rule the world.
Right.
So the greatest entity in this world, as far as humans was concerned, had Israel in bondage and had no desire whatsoever to let Israel go. Even hardened themselves against that thought of letting Israel go. And God let this happen. But God's purpose was to use the token life, the token, to go into that situation what looked like it was no way it could ever come to pass that Israel would ever be set free. And God's desire was to come and take the token life and cause Pharaoh to set those people free. And just bear with me. And so that's exactly what happened. God used the token to get the job done. It didn't make a difference how much Pharaoh hardened his heart or how much Egypt tried to kill Israel, cast out their young, whatever it was. God was going to win the victory anyway.
Right.
And so, this was a type of the end time. That in this hour, everything has moved in a direction where it just looks like there's no way for the believer to actually come out on top. I'm talking to the flesh. It looks that way.
Right.
But God has promised. Right?
Yeah.
God has promised, and he will have victory today just like he did then. And so we're going to talk about some of these parallels, and I won't hit them all, I'm sure, this morning. But we'll talk about the ones that the Lord allows me to do and the time to do. And so God had a strategic plan. Now, maybe the kiddies like some of the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and the Marines, and they'd like to see how they'll go in and do certain things. I know as a kid, I like that. I like to think about those things when I was a kid. But you realize that sometimes whenever you got people, American people, being hostages, held hostages somewhere, the American government was sending military to set those hostages free. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. But one of these missions like this would be a mission that would be considered a strategic mission with surgical precision. And that is, the idea is to be able to go in and take out whatever enemy you have to get your people out and get them out safely. And so that would mean that if there was 100 Americans in captivity and they were in a complex where there was 100 rooms, and in each room there was a militant there holding them hostage at gunpoint, that strategic plan means that they'd have to come up with some way that they could go in there and take out every one of those militants and keep the American people safe and set them free safely. And so God had a plan to do that. This token life, this token that was going to be applied, was exactly that. It was a situation where God was going to come down and set his people free, and he was going to set them free with such precision that Egypt would absolutely be crushed and destroyed, but God's people would go out unharmed. And you realize that whenever it come down to this, so this began to happen, the flies didn't make Pharaoh let them go. The fleas didn't. The hail and the lightning and fire and all that stuff, the blood, river, water turning to blood, none of those things had enough significance to them to make Pharaoh crumble. But when it come to the firstborn life, that death of that firstborn, that had sufficient power behind it to make Egypt crash to the ground. But at the same time, God, knowing that that was that powerful of a weapon, he would also have to institute something that would keep his people safe and all that. So he had to have conditions there, and it was the token. It was the token live. He told the people, I'm going to come down with an atomic bomb. This is going to work. But you've got to do certain things to protect yourself from this same power, because if I don't use this awesome power, you won't be set free. So I've got to resort to this kind of power in order to get Pharaoh to let you go. But at the same time, I've got to protect you from this awesome power. So here's how we're going to do it. You're going to have to kill this lamb, apply the blood on the doorpost, apply this token to your house. That's the way we're going to do it. And so that's what God told them. We have all these problems where we don't know what to do. We can't produce nothing. But God always produces what he needs. We were last night, they had got the little CDs out, DVDs out from the Bible. And I just was watched there for just a little while of it. And it was the part about Abraham. And Abraham was told to take his son up there and sacrifice him. And he went up way up on the mountain. And now, you know, Brother Reb talked about, it's probably about 70 miles away. They don't show that in the movie. They just show it up on the hill and then camp down at below. But it was probably about a 70-mile journey or something like that. Because he would travel for like 3 days, I think it was, and then showed him a mountain afar off. And he went off over to this mountain with his son. way up there where there wasn't going to be any animals. And so we know the story that when Abraham got ready to sacrifice his son, God stopped him, and he turned and looked, and there was his sacrifice there waiting for him. It was Jehovah Jireh. God is a provider.
Right.
And Abraham actually said, God will provide himself for a sacrifice. You notice how he said that? God, he didn't say God will provide for himself a sacrifice. If you go read it, it said God will provide himself for a sacrifice.
Right.
And that's what happened. So, right up there in a condition where there was no sacrifice, nothing like that, God is able to produce what he needs anytime, any place, because he's still Jehovah Jireh.
Right.
No matter where you are, what's going on, if you find yourself in time of need, I was telling Ben this yesterday, no matter where you're at, if you find yourself in time of need, he's promised to be that time of help and a need. He's still Jehovah Jireh.
Right.
Mom and dad may not be there, your brothers and sisters may not be there, but God is there and he is Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
He'll always be able to provide for you according to his program. And so here's Egypt. This was going to go on, and Israel inside of Egypt in bondage. But God had a way. God had provided a way to make this work. And so here we are in this condition, and God brought a message.
Amen.
He sent a prophet and brought a message.
Right.
And do you know what? Egypt didn't have a message. Israel, it's not for everybody, see? Israel had a message. Egypt didn't have it. It wasn't even sent to them. And even if it had sent it to them, they'd have laughed and scoffed at it.
Right. Yep.
See? So God tells you don't cast your pearl before swine, right? He ain't going to do it either.
Right?
He's not going to reveal something to somebody that's playing around.
Right.
It's people who are serious about serving God. That's the people he'll show you the ways of life. And so Israel had a message. Egypt did not have a message. And so, that's the world out there right now. They have nothing. They have no message.
Right.
In all those churches, if you talk and listen to them, there's almost nothing they have out of Scripture anymore that they hold sacred. They have nothing. They have no message. They have nothing that in their hour of dismay that they can rally to, that regathers them around and refortifies them and sets their pathway, feet on their pathway straight again. They don't have it. Because it's like Egypt, they have no message. And when you do try to tell it to them, they laugh about it.
Right.
They scoff it. And so, this is saying today, we have a message. The world's running around, groping in darkness. They don't know what to do, but God has given a message. Now, one of the things I wanted to emphasize here, as I mentioned earlier, that God doth make a difference. He, that you might know how much difference he places on them and us. Not that we make that difference, but he makes that difference. And that's what he said there. I want you to know just that so you could see how much difference God places between us, between the Egyptians and Israel. And it's the same today. God places a difference between us and them, and he's willing to show that difference.
Amen.
And so Israel had a message, and it was a message to go forth and have this token. And they were to take the lamb. And the scripture said there, he told Moses, we didn't read it there, but he told Moses, and now listen, this is going to be the first of your months. We're going to hit reset on the calendar. And this month will be the first month of the year for you. Right now, when you're going to go free, this is going to start things over.
Right.
And it's the same today. To enter into this token message, it starts things over. It takes you and I into eternity. This is what I want to show you. It starts in the day for us, a new calendar for us. And so he said, this will be the first of the months. Go get this firstborn lamb. Take it and kill it and all the things there that it tells you to do. Apply the blood over the doorpost and so forth. And so God tells them to do that. And so the night that this was going on, the night that this firstborn lamb was being slain, And that blood was being applied on the doorpost the night that Egypt fell, and the same night, which is the same night Israel went free, right? That night, for Egypt, everything was just the same.
Right.
No difference for them. But inside the quarters of the Israelis, it was a different night for them. They weren't doing that night what they did the night before or previous nights. They might sit around the campfire outside until it was time to go to bed and then go get in their houses or whatever they were normally. But on this night, it was different. They knew it was different. They had a message. That message changed what they were doing that night. In Egypt, same old, same old. You understand? I don't expect the world to be different. But I do expect in the ranks of the believer that it is different.
Yeah.
Because the types and shadows show that it's to be different.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's the point I want to show you there. They don't have a message, but we do, and it makes a difference. It starts here. This is how God chose the difference between us and them. It starts by Him giving you a message that they don't have. But then it goes from there as to what do you do with that message? And if you respond to that message properly, then when the heat is turned on and the world is crumbling, you are sustained and protected. And while this is going on, you're being transported from an old day to a new day. From an old life of bondage to a life of freedom. That's what's going on. That's what's going on while this token is being applied, while the screams of everything going on in the world, saints, that's what's happening to you right now. You are being liberated while they're dying.
Right.
While the flood was killing all the people, Noah and his people were being saved by the same flood.
Yeah.
And these things that are going on in the world, and it's destroying them, and it's driving you closer to Christ. Right? Because that's the way it is. It's a divine plan of God, and it's a perfect plan. So this token was to be applied upon the doorpost, and the people had to be identified. Now remember, this was the shed blood of an innocent one. That's the type. It started way back in the garden. Shed blood of an innocent one, made coats of skin. And that set the pattern. And here it is again. The shed blood of an innocent one, a firstborn, all those things are typology, showing it would be Jesus Christ that would die for us on Calvary. It would be His shed, His blood, He'd be there, our lamb. So it's that firstborn lamb. And the scripture said, you apply that over the doorpost. And Brother Branham gave the example like this. Well, if red blood on the doorpost would work, why don't we just paint the whole roof red? But he didn't say paint the roof red. He said, use blood and put it over the doorpost. And I'll say it this way. I never thought of it, but it came to me a while ago when I was meditating on this. You don't enter in and out of your home through the roof.
Right, right.
But you do through the door.
Yeah.
It matters what comes and goes in and out the doorway.
Amen.
So it was there. There's where you were to guard your home and your family and the protection that you have was right there through that doorway. It didn't say a window, a door. You look through a window, but you walk through a door.
Right.
See? And so it was the door. And told them to apply that. Told them to stand there with their staff in their hand. Right? Eat that lamb. Had to eat it roast, couldn't boil it in water, but they had to be roast. Eat that, eat it with bitter herbs, but have their shoes on their feet and their clothes on and their staff in their hand. Why? Ready to go.
Right.
While this token is being applied and this Passover is happening and all the screams are going on outside the doors out there where they don't have the token, while this liberating process is going on, God has said, you have your shoes on your feet, you have your clothes on, you have your staff in your hand. In other words, you be ready to go because when this thing is finished, you're out of here.
Amen.
Right? When this thing that's going on right now in our midst is over with, we're out of here. And spiritually speaking, God wants you to have your walking shoes on. He wants you to have your clothes on so you can go and your staff in your hand. Be ready.
Right.
Don't be waiting behind, piddling around, trying to find your shoes. That's always funny, you know. Get ready for church. Church is one of the worst times. Everybody be ready. We got to go at this time. Forget it. It's not working. How many knows what I'm talking about? It just don't work. You know, sometimes it's me and sometimes it's others, you know. It's what's really funny is most of the time I'm getting home to the kids or whatever, my wife or whatever, you know. Then all of a sudden one day they're sitting in the car waiting on me. What happened? You know, I'm supposed to be the leader of the pack here, you know. But anyway, God said, have this on. Why? Because you are in an exodus. And this thing's happening quick. And of course, he said, eat the bitter herbs. You realize that the real bitterness was outside them doors.
Yeah.
Right? And God wants you to know the cost. And I know that's not what the bitter herbs was necessarily about, but that's what comes to mind right now. He wants you to know the severity of this situation, of how important it is to be inside that token. And so, the people had to be identified with this. They had to be identified with that life of that lamb that had been slain. So if anybody walked by and looked at their house, they could become the object of ridicule, being made fun of. Oh, you're one of them, huh? You're one of those people that think that by putting blood over your doorpost, you'll be okay. You're still our slaves. That was the attitude. You understand what I'm saying? So that you know, but they had to be identified. In other words, it had to be plain view. No, nothing hid. Those people that lived in those houses put the blood over their doorposts. They could stand there looking out the door, and all their friends, the Egyptian, whatever, could come by. The taskmaster, Pharaoh himself could come by. It don't make no difference. They look over at them, and it was very clear what message their people believed in. They were very clearly identified with that prophet and that message and that rejected slain lamb, which by typology was Christ later on. So they were thoroughly identified with that. That was their token. And so, pointing to Christ, he's our token. And so there, when God made a difference first by giving them a message that Egypt didn't have, then by them reciprocating and applying that token, that blood to their doorpost, now they took a stand. God told us to do this. Now we take a stand, and we're standing here and have put ourselves in position for ridicule. Because to them, we're idiots. I mean, after all, they're millions strong, and we're just a few people, however many it was, that were in bondage compared to them. It was a huge number, and you know, and because the scripture said there were too many of them, they began to kill them to keep the numbers down so there'd be more Egyptians. So they were in it. But the point I'm getting is the children of Israel had to believe that message enough to stick that blood on the doorpost and be regardless of what Pharaoh was going to do about it. Right? I know they had seen enough by that time, but surely they believed the message. There was enough miracles of lesser degree built up, building confidence in this prophet, in the message that God's given him. Build up, until finally when that prophet had to tell them something that was going to be the significant factor in the whole thing, they believed enough of it to go ahead and put their neck on the line for that. And really not putting your neck on the line, because God always does what he said, but you understand, to go ahead and believe that portion regardless of what the consequences were. And so God showed a difference, then you've got to show the difference. You see what I'm saying? God showed the difference by giving you a message that he didn't give them. Now what do you do about it? And what you do about it by putting it on display shows that you show I'm different than them. Because they're going to look at you and they're going to say, you're different than us. And it's going to be a reproach to them But you're willing to take that reproach for Christ. So you take what this message is that you know he's given to you. You see it. When you talk to them, they say, I don't see that. But you see it. You know there's a difference. You put that on display. Now you're displaying. You have fleshed out something that's different than what they're fleshing out. It creates a war. It creates division. I understand that. But it's at his command. I know the scriptures tell us that as much as is in you, live peaceably with all men. And that's what we do. But when you stand there holding true to the gospel that God has given us, it is a reproach to them. If they can't even drive down the interstate and see a cross on a church, and it hurts them so bad they got to get it removed, and they certainly don't want to see what you have to express, see, because you're a reproach to them. And so they had to be identified with that, thoroughly identified that they believe that message and that they are believe that that blood was the token for them. So it really starts off with your decision. You realize that when that death angel come down through Egypt, that death angel, he was commissioned to destroy all the firstborn. And if that token had not been applied, that death angel would destroy all the firstborn of Israel too. So that was the thing there. And so that blood being applied and that token being applied protected the children of Israel from that death. He was commissioned to do it. He had power to do it. He was well able to carry it out. From Pharaoh to his servants and even to the beast of the field. God wasn't leaving nothing out. Every firstborn. Now that's a type in our day. Everyone with firstborn nature. In other words, everyone that's not born again, everybody that's not received Christ into their heart and have a new spirit in them, Christ in them, causing them to live differently. That death that strikes this earth today gets every one of them. And I want to go ahead and tie this together. Remember those locusts that come out and out of the smoke, and they were given permission to go and torment every person that didn't have the Holy Ghost. So this ties together. Death has been given permission to go through the land and get everybody that's not been born again. See it? And those spirits, when they come out, what did they do? Look what it did to our women. Look what it's done to our governments. Look what it's done to everything. Our music. Our entertainment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you see what this death is doing. You see the avenues of this death. How it's pervading through people and through the world. This is what I was sharing back there in that series. And that's what we're talking about. Death is coming through the land right now. But God has a token. God has a token for us that will protect us from those things that he's allowed to come forth. He's allowed those things to come out to bring to pass his word. He allowed Pharaoh to come to his power to bring to pass his word. Right? But there was a token then to put on display, and there's a token today to put on display.
Right.
And so, but it has to be displayed first before God can unleash that protecting power. That has to be there. So you can actually stop it. You can stop this protection by not applying the token, by not listening to the message and doing what the message says and fleshing out what the message says to flesh out. You can stop that protection, and that death can begin to touch your home. And as it comes to mind now, I'm going to say this. God didn't tell you to go out there all over the world and all that, because he knows that's not your domain, but your home is your domain.
Right.
So he's telling you, apply it over your domain.
Amen.
You don't have to apply it out there to all that, but you have a domain and you need to apply it there, because your domain is your protection. That's a place of refuge for you if you have the token. If we were invaded today by Russians or ISIS or whatever, their purpose would be to come into every home.
Right.
not stand outside, but would be to come into the home. And as long as they couldn't come into your sanctuary, you'd be fine. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the concept there. And so this death was coming, and God had a token there. The people had to be identified with it. And they actually held the power to make this thing work, because they had been given a message, and then now they had to put it in flesh. And so the children of Israel did this, and the death angel come through. And when the death angel seen that blood over the doorpost, he said, "I don't have to go in there. I'm not, that's done." And I don't say it's the best way to look at it, but I've thought about it for years. But when that death angel says, "I've been given a commission to go into every house and destroy the firstborn," and he'd go to an Israeli house and he'd see that blood, he'd say, "No, death's already struck there. I don't need to go there. Death's already happened. Price has already been paid." Because that's what token is. It's a fair price paid.
Right.
So it's already been paid. And he just goes right on. And that death angel had one desire to go back there, because he knows he can't. You see what I'm saying? He had no power to go there because the blood was applied. So the token had to be displayed, and the people did it. And so now, that death is coming through. It was coming through the land. And the concept here was to get inside your sanctuary, get inside your domain, the thing that you do have power over, to get inside there and then place between your domain and the world that token.
Right.
Put it between you and them. That was the concept there. Put that token between you and the world, and that will protect you. Now, Brother Branham comes along, and he's preaching the token. He's preaching 3rd Exodus. He's letting us know these things are happening now. Death's going through the land. There's a token to apply. And he tells us back then it was actual blood, but now it's not the actual blood. It's the life that was in the blood. So it's the Holy Ghost.
Right.
It's the life of Christ, the Spirit of Christ that was in him, that shed blood. It was shed, and now it's his life. And then that's what you have to put on display. Now, Christ 2,000 years ago, Jesus was crucified, and it was his blood back then. But I want to throw you another thing here, and I think you all understand this, but I want to make sure you understand this. Jesus came 2,000 years ago as a babe in a manger, grew up, did all the things the Scripture said he would do. That was the coming of the Lord. And the things he suffered at that, that unleashed his spirit to come upon the people, and that was a life. But I want to show you, that was his crucifixion. But how he knows that he's been crucified a second time?
Right.
Because he was promised to come again in our day, not as a babe in a manger, but he would come in his church.
Right.
His spirit would rise up, and he would manifest things today that would show that he was once again among us. And when he showed himself among us in this day, the people of this generation crucified that word.
Right.
Crucified that ministry and that word. So the same Christ that was crucified back there, just in a different form, but it's the same Jesus. Now he's crucified again, so there's a bleeding word.
Yeah.
He was the word made flesh, so he's bleeding word there, but now he's bleeding word again. And there's your token. The bleeding life of this message that was rejected, that's your blood. That's your life. That's what you have to put on display. That's what you accept and accept as your token and put it between you and the world.
Right.
So anytime the world wants to look at you, what they see is that rejected word.
Right.
The life of it.
Yeah.
We're not afraid to be associated with a rejected message, because that's where the life is.
Right.
And it has to be that way. But in order for us to be protected from the death that's in this world today, we have to put that between us and the world. We have to. I keep saying we've got to figure out a way to walk in this world but disconnect from it. That's what I'm talking about. A way to keep that token around us and keep those things away from us, so that we're not affected by them. Because by the time this gets done, saints, we'll have new bodies.
Yeah. Right.
applying this token, this rejected message, the life behind it, applying that today, that's going to take you and I into a body change because it's the third Exodus. We will rise up so we have our staff in our hand, our loins girded, and our feet, shoes on our feet, and we are ready to go. Because when this happens, we're out of here. But it has to start with what? A prophet, a message, your acceptance of a message, your display of that message. And then when that's on display, you can be protected from these things.
Amen.
And while the world is falling apart, you're not.
Yeah, right.
While they go off into this and they go off into that and they give way to those locusts and they dress the way they do, their women do, and they think the way they do, and they run their governments the way they do, and all the things that those spirits cause the world to do, you don't. Why? Because you got a token. You don't let those avenues in your home. You can't control the billboards on the street. You can't control the workplace and the things like that unless you're a supervisor, and then you might a little bit. But you can in your home.
Yeah.
You control those avenues. That's why Brother Bram said, we're going to clean up this place around here. We're going to get these magazines and all this stuff. Why? Because those are avenues. That's going on out there in the world comes through those avenues.
Right.
And so the Holy Ghost, the idea is to take and always put that Holy Ghost between you and the world in every way. Now I want to ask you a question. Can Satan get to you if you engage in the wrong kind of conversation? Just give me some interactions. I want this to really go home with you. If you go to the wrong places, can Satan get to you in that?
Amen.
If you think the wrong thoughts, can it get you?
Sure.
If you use your phone for the wrong reasons, can he?
Yeah.
Your computer. The way you spend your time. If you know what I'm saying? In all those things, Satan can get at you if they're not governed by the Holy Ghost. Every bit of it. So it does matter what you sing, what you do with your phones, what you talk about on the telephone or to your neighbor or whatever. It does matter what you let course through your mind when you're sitting there by yourself.
Right.
It does matter. All of these things matter. And all of those things can be avenues for that life that's out there to come in and try and destroy you if you don't meet the challenge by putting the Holy Ghost between you and all those things.
Right.
Between you and the wrong conversation, between you and surfing the internet, between you and your finances or whatever it might be. You understand? Anywhere, if you can stop and say, if I do this wrong, can he get to me? And you say yes, that's a candidate for the token. That's an avenue for the token.
Yeah.
And it's our responsibility to do that. God's telling you in every place that the enemy could come into your home, put the blood there. Put the token there. And you know who had to put the token on the door? The people.
Right.
They had a message. They had a promise. God told them he was going to do. But they had to flesh it out.
Yeah.
And only when that happened did they receive full benefits of that token message. Everybody follow that.
Amen.
We can't just say, well, by faith. Not if there are any works behind it. Not if there's not, works is faith expressed. Do you know that? The first letter of each one of those words, W-I-F-E. Works is faith expressed. His wife, she puts to flesh the things that she believes in the promise in that marriage ceremony. You understand? She becomes the physical manifestation of that union.
Amen.
More than he is. Do you get that? When a man and a woman's married, she becomes more of a manifestation of that union than he'll ever be.
Right?
And I say that because the wife, the bride of Christ is here. We will make more testimony out of our life because that's the way he's designed it. And so if Satan can get to you through those things, then that's things that you need to have the Holy Ghost to be there at the door. And so it all comes right down to what? We have to put Christ first.
Yeah.
In rapture, we need to move up into Him.
That's right.
We need to move up into that revelation. And He needs to be first in everything, in every way. If you had a revelation, and I trust that none of you do this, but if you had a revelation that drinking beer was bad, you'd never do it again. Right? So if we have a revelation of this token message, what it says, why would we find ourselves not applying the token? And so I know for the little ones, and I'll talk to them just for a moment, your mom and dad, until you get the Holy Ghost, your mom and dad is supposed to be the Holy Ghost for you. We say it that way, let mom and dad be the Holy Ghost until you get the Holy Ghost. But we know that when you have the Spirit of Christ in you, He will always speak truth to you. And so, as a child, I know that, you know, maybe you don't understand things sometimes. You don't understand why mom and dad say and do the things they do, but they're your Holy Ghost. They are your token. They are your protection. Because you don't understand it yet, but they do. And they are given responsibility over you. And God will keep you if you always honor mom and dad. Right? That's the first commandment with promise. Isn't that what the scripture said? Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the earth. Because a child who does not honor their parents, their days are short. Right? And so, they're your Holy Ghost. So, you may not understand why. Your parents may say, listen, Junior, I don't want you playing with Joe down the street. My family always laughs at me because I always use the word Joe for somebody, a fictitious character down the street. Nothing against any Joe that I've ever known. But I, you know, so you say, but that's my friend. We have fun together. We have fun together. Why can't I play with my friend Joe down the street? But you see, you're still developing, and you may not have the Holy Ghost, but mom and dad have the Holy Ghost, and mom and dad have been given responsibility by God over you, and God will never make somebody responsible for something but not equip them with the ability to do it. So if He's made them responsible over you, He's also equipped them with the sensitivity to know that you better not play with Joe.
Amen.
So you may not understand it, but you need to give way and honor that protection that God has given you. Because if you don't honor it, just like the token, if you don't honor it, you don't get the protection that comes with it. If you always butt heads with it and you're always going against it, same way with the ministry of the church. If you're always disagreeing with it, you don't ever let it affect your life, you're rejecting it. See, you don't get the benefits for it.
Right.
So parents will be the protection that God has sent. And at some point, you'll grow to the place where God will put the Holy Ghost in you and you'll become grown. And you'll begin to have that leadership in your own life. And that's about the same time that you start having kids. Because now God's equipping you with responsibility, and He has to, because you're now going to have kids. You understand? So it's a process. But when mom and dad says, don't do this and don't do that, they're doing it because they see something on the horizon that they see as a problem.
Right.
And they're trying to protect you. And it might be what you listen to. It might be a video that you might want to watch. It might be friends that you play down the street. It could be a lot of things. But little children, I know this may be hard for you to do, but ask yourself, could Satan really have a bad influence on me through Joe? Or through this book I want to read? Or through this video I want to watch? Or this music I want to listen to? The answer is yes. And if that's yes, you need to submit to the token. And let that token protect you. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we want to do. We all fit in this all category. Surrender to the token and let it be our protection. And be identified with it. Don't be afraid to say, I love my parents and I'm going to listen to what they say. I'm sorry, I can't play with you, Joe, today. I need to go home and be with my parents or whatever. But if you'll do that, you'll have the blessings of God. If you don't do that, then you take yourself out of those blessings. Everybody understand what I'm saying on that? That's exactly the way it works. We're too close to the end for us to be playing anymore.
Right.
I realize the gospel is always to go out there. You're always to go out, you know, we want to preach and we want people to be saved. And I don't doubt that any of you in here is not saved. But I have a responsibility to help preach you into rapture. Because there's many people going to be saved but not going in the rapture.
Right.
What I want to see is rapture, because in this hour, the alternative to rapture is tribulation.
Right.
And I love you too much. And so I'm not, you know, I'm a fruit inspector just like you are. And I'm, you know, I hope you understand I'm not sitting around trying to see if I can find something wrong with somebody's life. That's not it at all. I just have this commission to always keep before you, you know, pastors are a feeder of the flock. To always keep the word before you, always keep it before you, let you know what the word is saying so that you'll know how to interact with this world. Because ultimately, to go in a rapture is to move on up into Christ.
Right.
To move on up into the revelation, and in the light of a token, to move on into a very well applied token.
Yeah.
Very well applied. Not in 50% of your activities of your life,
right. But
in every activity of your life. Okay? I don't know what you spend your time doing. I don't need to know. All I know is that when the Lord deals with me and to pour it out that way, I know it's there. He knows what he's doing. And so that's what I'm compelled to do, is to keep that word before you, keep reminding you, stay focused, move on up into him, disconnect from this world, let every action that you have, let it be governed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if it's something that you feel like the Holy Spirit is not pleased with, get away from it.
Amen.
Because how many knows that the Holy Spirit likes to dwell in the midst of peace? Right? Whether it's in your home, in your own heart, in your home, in your church, the Holy Spirit likes to dwell because that's his nature. He's a dove. So he can't really hang around where there's a bunch of gnarling and growling and griping and bickering and fighting and fussing and all that.
Right.
So like this is another one for little kids, because I know little kids like to nitpick at one another. But did you know, little children, when you nitpick at one another, do you realize you are creating an environment that drives the Holy Spirit from your home?
Yeah.
Did you understand that? Because God likes to dwell in unity. How precious it is that the brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing oil that was poured on Aaron and it run down through his beard on his garments. Aaron could go into the presence of God when he was anointed that way. Without that anointing, he couldn't go. So when brethren dwell together in unity, it's like that oil. You can go into the presence of God when you have unity among you.
Right.
So we need to check up and analyze every aspect of our lives, every conversation, every moment of every day. What am I doing with my life? What am I saying? What am I thinking? Is it conducive to create an environment where the Holy Ghost is pleased to dwell here? Because when he's dwelling there, things happen.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. We want that token life. We want the power of that token life. Because God has shown in the word that the power behind that token got the job done, and it didn't make a difference what Pharaoh tried to do. That token power, the life behind that, was sufficient to get them people out of there.
Right.
And it's sufficient today to get us out of here. But saints, we've got to have the right respect for that token, for that message. We've got to put it on display, quit trying to outthink it, trying to subvert it, and whatever, and put it in place in every aspect of our lives. And when we do that, we'll get full protection from this world and the curse that's on this world. You realize that Brother Ram talked in that vision, that church, the bride of Christ, was marching upward. But them other churches, where were they going?
Right.
Downward. We are going upward. The world is going downward. Why? Because they have a curse. And we can either be identified with the blessed going up by applying the token, or if we don't, we're going to get sucked into the curses of the world and wind up in tribulation. If you're a believer, you'll wind up in tribulation and having to give your life through martyrdom or whatever. That's exactly what it is. So we're at the last stage. And you know, you have that phrase, the winner takes all or whatever. We're at the last stage, and the stakes have been raised to the highest. And the rejectors of this word today, they have serious trouble.
Yeah.
It's worse today than it was in any other day, because there's more revealed word now. The total Christ has come on the scene. The total full word has come. And you to reject the total full word is to receive full curse of the thing. So, so we want to accept all of it and march upward. And you remember when the church went in that vision, that they got out, they were getting out of line. I remember what the ones were doing when they got out of line. Where were they looking? They were looking at that other group that was marching that way. So back to the little ones and the big ones. When whoever it is that's over you, whether it's the Holy Ghost speaking to you, or your parents speaking to you, or your pastor or ministry speaking to you, whoever it is, when they are compelling you and telling you, stay away from this, be careful with that, there's a reason. Because if I told you that all of us, we were on a train, and we were running 100 miles an hour, and somewhere off down here, that track just comes to an end and went right off into a gorge 50 miles deep. And there was no way to stop us. We were just flying down through there on our way to the abyss. And that's humanity. But if I stood and told you, we're on that train, but I stood and told you, but there's a token. There's something that's going to happen here that can save you, but you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone in order to do it. And that is, there's another set of train tracks beside us, and another train's going to pull up beside us at 100 miles an hour, and you're going to have to get up and step over into that train. And you're going to have to do it before we get to the abyss, because this train track, it doesn't go off in the abyss. You get on this train, he'll sink up right beside you in your condition. He'll come meet you right there, but you've got to step over. And if we're going down that track in the train, and all of a sudden, here comes the train of redemption. It pulls right up beside us, just like it was said. And if I was standing there saying, all right, it's time, we got to get up, go open the door and step over. I know it's scary because the tracks are down below and it's just going by, but if you'll just step right over, you'll be in freedom. And if I'm standing there telling you that, and somebody else or something else steps up and starts trying to divert your attention from the redemption, the train of redemption, pointing some other way, and they're trying to get your attention over there, trying to get you to not listen, trying to get you to take a nap or whatever, anything that's keeping you from stepping into that safety, I want to tell you about it. I want to tell you that some things are trying to keep you from doing that. And that's the thing, that there's just all kinds of things trying to keep you. But God's got a way of safety for us. And though it's a token, it's a life, it's a condition, right? It's a safety zone. But it's actually, you know, I don't know what they call it. Ben probably could tell me. They have science, you know, they take all this mathematics and they prove stuff out mathematically, and then they go search for it in laboratories, and they find it and they create things off of it. But it all starts with the fact that the math, you know, they figure it out mathematically. You know, and they claim that there are places in space or whatever that are connected to faraway dimensions, that like you can go from here to some other place so far across the universe it might take you a billion years to get there, and you can get there like that. Isn't there something like that? I don't know if it's a wormhole or whatever, but my point is that though we have this token life that we enter into, it's a place, it's a condition, but it has and is here commissioned to take you to another dimension. But it all it all falls back on what we do with that token life and how much we respect it. And so we want to put Him first, put His life between you and this world in every way. Every way that you can possibly do it. Keep Him between you and the world. And I guarantee you, I can't guarantee you, but the Word guarantees you. And because of that, then I can as a minister. It'll keep that world away from you. It'll keep that curse off of you. You will not degrade in mentality. You will not degrade in morality. You will not degrade in all the things that they are. You'll be preserved and protected. Because God has always said you would be. But rest assured, Pharaoh has fortified himself against you. We don't expect Pharaoh to do anything except harden his heart. Right? But God has a token life that's on the scene now to take care of the situation. Amen? You believe that?
Yeah.
And so, I think I've delivered everything the Lord would have me give you this morning. Amen? So let the musicians go ahead and come up. How many love the Lord? How do you apply the token? Just take everything in your life and make it subject to the Holy Spirit, subject to the Word, subject to mom and dad, subject to your leadership. That's all you have to do. If there's anything that creates a question, don't mess with it. That's the thing. Brother Webb said that. Well, I forget what the question was, but they said, you know, is it okay to do this or that? And he says, sister, well, if there's a question about it, right? A question, you know, that's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really one of the hardest fights we have in our life. I'll be honest with you, I'm just like you.
Right.
Those places where there's a question because there's that side of, well, maybe it's not a problem. But why is it that when there is, it's a place when there's a question about it, why is it so easy to go the wrong direction? Well, and we know. Rather than taking the conservative side that Brother Brown says, well, if there's a question, don't mess with it all, so we should stay over here, and yet somehow or another, when that question comes up, instead of doing that, people go to the other side anyway.
Yeah.
And I've seen it enough to know that it always comes out bad for you. It always does. But you know what? A prophet said, this bride, this woman, today, she's ordained not to fail. She's not going to do what Eve did. So we're coming to that place where we're learning. The scripture said we're not ignorant of the devices of Satan, right? And I trust that these things I talk about, maybe, you know, that I'm sharing with you these examples, that you can say, you know, I see that. I see that in my life. I've made that mistake, but I also hope and pray and trust that you can say, and you know what? I'm getting better at that. I'm getting better at handling these things. I'm getting better at staying true to the Word. Amen?
Yeah.
That's my desire for you.
Yes.
I have zero desire for 10,000 or 1,000, a congregation of that size. I don't, whatever, you know what? Sheep beget sheep. Do you know that? You go out and you live it and you testify it and people come in at your testimony. That shepherd, when a sheep begets a sheep, that shepherd's responsible for the new sheep.
Right.
Right? So you go out and you have people, Brother Daniel witnesses to people, different ones, they come in. I'm automatically responsible as a pastor to preach and to watch over that flock, see? But you are the ones that begat sheep. You understand? But we just want to commit all these things to God. And we want, what I want to see you do is, regardless of what this congregation size is, whatever God sees fit to do, for each one of you, I really want you to be able to come up and say, Brother Tony, you're right. I am getting better at winning these victories. I am holding my ground better than I used to. That's what matters to me.
Yeah.
Amen. For you to say, yes, Brother Tony, there's been a place I've had trouble applying the token in my life, and I've actually got victory over. Saints, I'll tell you, I've had struggles in my life, of things in my life that I've had troubles with that lasted years. Some of it more than 10 years. That God has given me victory over. He will do it. He will give you that victory, but you've got to keep focused on Him. And He'll do it. And I don't care if it's healing, if you need healing in your body for something, if you'll stay focused long enough, He will bring that to pass.
Yeah.
He'll do it just as sure as anything. And so whether it's physical healing, spiritual healing, whatever, God will do it. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your Word, for this time that we've had together. Lord, for most of us, a lot of us, it's just one time a week that we get together here as this group, Lord. And it's precious to us, Lord. We count this as a grand time. It's the highlight of our week, Lord. And we thank You for it. We ask, God, that You'll always, and we know You will, You'll always be in the midst of what we do here as long as we put You first. You'll always come down, and You'll knit our hearts even closer together. We trust and believe that, Lord. We realize that Satan has his crosshairs on us as individuals, as a church. We know that he doesn't want us to have unity, Lord. But we're so happy, God, that You are what we focus upon. And it's Your Word. It's not some big eyes and little U's or something like that among us. We all, in humility, are happy to be here, Lord. And happy to sit underneath the Word of the hour, God, that we might receive the truths that You have for us. We know and see it changing us day to day. We thank You for that, Lord. Pronounce these blessings upon all the congregation, Lord, even those that are missing this morning. We ask, God, that You go and touch them, bless them. Sister Gloria, Lord, that You would help her meet her needs. And Lord, that each one of us each day would grow in strength, as we've mentioned this morning. We thank You for these things and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing that song, Learning to Lean on Jesus.
Oh, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean.
Situation for you to learn to lean on Him.
Amen.
Amen. He is our escape. Right? He's our way out. You know, I'm going to go ahead and say this right now because it's just not going to mind, but I found a quote where Brother Branham said this, and I like this. He said to Enoch, because you know Enoch is the type of us, right? He actually said that the God asked Enoch, do you feel like you've walked down there long enough? Enoch said, yep, I've walked here long enough. I like that. Because He's a type of us. And I can hear the Lord saying that to us. I really, in the Spirit, I can hear it. Are you reaching the point where you feel like you've walked here long enough? And I am. I mean, not me as an individual, but I mean us as the bride. That God would ask us, Have you walked here long enough? And we say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. And God said, okay, come on now. Amen. I like that.
Yes.
You say, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. The Word of God is still what it means. The Word of God is still the answer.
Yeah.
And when I find it in the Scriptures, when the Scripture said it's thus and thus, then that's the way it is. And you know what? A prophet, according to Scriptures, a prophet is a divine interpreter of the Word. And if I can look at Scriptures and I see something that I don't understand, but in my day there's a vindicated prophet, and that prophet declares what that is, that is a divine interpretation of the Word.
Yeah.
And then when I take and I give the right attention to that, and my experience in the Holy Ghost comes around and confirms that to me and shows the clarity of the revelation of that to me. You see what I'm saying? I'm following right down God's pathway of what He has for us.
Yeah.
So when a prophet says, you know what, God asked Enoch. And I see that in the revelation. I can see that we come to an hour that we are Enoch. We come to that hour and He asks us. He's asking us in the Spirit, are you done down here? And we're moving into, not because we're saying, I'm tired, I just don't want to do it, I don't want to, no, but it's different, I can't explain it, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That we're getting ready. He's ministering into us the right cry so that He can turn around and fulfill it.
Amen.
I think it's great, it's one man. Amen. I trust that each one of you, they're claiming some bad weather coming later, so I trust that everybody will be home before that hits, and pray that it's not even what they say. I don't think it's really going to be that bad down here. But anyway, drive safely. Brother Tim, they usually get more than we do. But drive safely. And, just remember your family, your church family in prayer. And be praying for next week's service. I believe God has got something for us, not just in service, but I believe we're on the move. I really believe something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
And so, just remember, you are the rapture. God bless you.